what we found in the evaluation was that amongst the climate funds, the GCF has the strongest private sector focus and the best ability to scale projects. However, the GCF is yet to fully utilize its large fund size, the risk appetite, and the flexible suite of financial instruments that it has, compared to other climate funds.
Hello and welcome to The Evaluator, a podcast by the Independent Evaluation Unit, IEU, of the Green Climate Fund, GCF. I'm your host, Yeonji Kim, Communications Officer at the IEU. The IEU aims to conduct evaluations that'll help make the GCF faster, smarter, and better. We are committed to collecting and producing high-quality evidence to inform policymaking within the GCF and the broader international climate finance arena that translates into better outcomes on the climate action front. The Evaluator brings you compelling insights on cutting-edge topics related to evaluation, climate action, and development, featuring experts from across the globe as well as from within the IEU. Today's episode features three of my colleagues from the IEU, Dr. Martin Prowse, Evaluation Specialist, Mr. Peter Mwandri, Evaluation Researcher, and Mr. Andreas Roymann, Head Ad Interim of the IEU. In this episode, we briefly highlight some of the key findings and recommendations from the IEU's recently concluded independent evaluation of the adaptation portfolio and approach of the Green Climate Fund. Martin, Peter, and Andreas all contributed significantly to this important evaluation. This evaluation was approved by the GCF Board as part of the IEU's 2020 work plan. The final evaluation report was prepared and submitted to the Board in time for its 28th meeting, which was held virtually from the 16th to 19th March 2021. The full evaluation report is available on the IEU website. First, what did the evaluation find about the GCF's role in financing adaptation in the broader international climate finance arena? Where does the GCF stand in adaptation finance? Using the data as of November 2020, when the 27th meeting of the GCF board was held, the evaluation team discovered the following. Here is Dr. Martin Prowse.
The GCF is uniquely positioned in adaptation to finance projects at scale with a high risk appetite if this is appropriate and consistent with country needs. However, project-level interactions between the GCF and other funding agencies are not yet systematically identified nor actively pursued. The evaluation also found that the GCF can clarify its role beyond adaptation finance in adaptation planning, in convening, and in knowledge management. We can see that the size of projects from other climate funds are, on average, considerably less than the GCF projects. And this finance supports research, pilots, and small-scale projects, whilst GCF finance is, on average, larger and is able to provide scaled project finance. In contrast, the multilateral development banks, illustrated here by the World Bank, are able to offer large replicable project finance, often using different financial instruments. So in that sense, we can see that the GCF inhabits, in some senses, a midpoint between the research pilots and small projects of the other climate funds and the larger project finance supported by multilateral development banks.
Although there is a greater role that the GCF can play in adaptation finance, given its bigger project size in general and higher risk appetite, the evaluation highlights that it is not all that easy for developing countries to access the GCF's Readiness and Preparatory Support Program, or RPSP, for adaptation planning. Here is Mr. Peter Mwandri.
So the evaluation found that the requirements for proposal development, capacity concern, and matchmaking with adequate delivery partners are seen as hurdles in assessing RPSP for adaptation planning. Also, the approval process for RPSP adaptation planning varies from 14 days to 3 years. And given that different grants exhibit different approval processing time, but on average, the time is considered to be quite lengthy. The bright side is there are attempts and efforts to reduce delays, such as use of national and remote consultants. Due to the young nature of adaptation planning, fully attributing of GCF RPSP to concrete outcomes is challenging.
The governing instrument of the GCF says the fund is to catalyze both public and private finance for a paradigm shift in low emissions and climate resilient development. How successful has the GCF been in leveraging private finance for adaptation projects and programs? GCF actually has a dedicated facility for unlocking private sector financing, the Private Sector Facility, or PSF. We know that it tends to be more difficult to generate private co-financing for adaptation compared to mitigation. Well, is that the case for the GCF too? Here is Dr. Martin Prowse again.
What we found in the evaluation was that amongst the climate funds, the GCF has the strongest private sector focus and the best ability to scale projects. However, the GCF is yet to fully utilize its large fund size, the risk appetite, and the flexible suite of financial instruments that it has. Compared to other climate funds, with the partial exception of the CIFS PPCR, the GCF has the widest range of financial instruments available, but the GCF is yet to fully utilize these within its adaptation portfolio. The evaluation also found that the GCF's ability to source and support PSF projects has stalled. The evaluation found that overall, 18 cents per GCF dollar is generated as co-finance from the private sector within the adaptation portfolio.
Based on this finding, the evaluation recommends that the GCF define its approach to engaging with and catalyzing finance from the private sector. How can this be achieved? The evaluation speaks about two possible ways. First, developing a strategy for the private sector, particularly in adaptation finance. And second, coming up with a private sector approach that specifically addresses capacity support to small and medium-sized firms, possibly through the GCF's Readiness and Preparatory Support Program, RPSP. Of course, it's not just engagement with the private sector that matters in adaptation. Adaptation in particular, it requires a multi-stakeholder approach that includes actors from the central and local government, civil society organizations, local communities, and the private sector. And this kind of inclusive approach to adaptation can be facilitated by the National Designated Authorities, or NDAs. NDAs are government institutions that serve as the interface between each country and the GCF. They provide broad strategic oversight of the GCF's activities in the country and communicate the country's climate priorities. Here is Mr. Andreas Roiman.
What I've learned is NDAs are really a key in successful adaptation project development. And that means we found that countries with strong NDAs, which means they do engage with many stakeholders, they bring projects through long design and proposal stages, they tend to have more adaptation projects approved with the GCF compared to others. So understanding the characteristics of successful NDA procedures or processes and NDA institutional strengths is very critical to the fund. So because adaptation, and this is very natural, because adaptation require this multi-stakeholder engagement, inclusion of civil society organizations, inclusion of private sector, we can clearly see that multi-stakeholder engagement can benefit the adaptation portfolio. So for me, the link to country ownership and the country ownership approach, which also been an objective for one of the IEU evaluations, the evaluation of the country ownership approach, is really key here. And just to highlight there, the linkage to this evaluation as well is, you know, the GCF has really the opportunity and the mandate to then also encourage NDAs to make these processes more inclusive. And that can be achieved through clear guidance at country level. So the country ownership investment criteria at the GCF as such should be at best a prerequisite or a key requirement for the engagement with the GCF. And that's something that we've also found in the country ownership evaluation.
What did the evaluation find specifically about the GCF's adaptation portfolio? Here is Mr. Peter Mondry again.
The adaptation portfolio consists of very few programs and these are 4 out of 67 interventions, and 96% of adaptation finance is in grant basis and is dominated by international accredited entities. Moreover, the GCF still has challenge reaching the most vulnerable and least red countries. So far, 59 out of 154 eligible countries received no GCF adaptation finance. And evaluation also found that innovation in software, such as organizational, behavioral, and procedural, which creates new delivery models, is more important than technological innovation in adaptation.
Let's pause here for a second. What is meant by innovation in software? Why is such innovation in software important in adaptation? Here is Dr. Martin Prowse.
In terms of learning, the adaptation did highlight that it's very much innovation in software, so organizational learning, behavioral learning, institutional learning, and institutional new innovation within institutions that's more important than technological forms of innovation. And this is something that the evaluation report highlights. And this also includes innovation in forms of climate finance as well, because we have to remember that GCF is a climate finance organization.
Coming back now to our discussion about the GCF's adaptation portfolio, the evaluation found that the processing of adaptation projects in the GCF is quite a lengthy process currently. Also, most of these projects are being submitted by international accredited entities, such as UN organizations or multilateral development banks, as opposed to regional or national accredited entities.
Looking at the processing time, evaluation found that adaptation projects take longer to process than mitigation projects, especially for direct access entities. And the reason for delay include availability of data, lack of guidance on climate rationale at AEs and secretariat level, and the complexity of adaptation project. Looking at the analysis on adaptation finance by entity modality over time, you can see that the vast majority of adaptation financing is committed through international accredited entities and less in regional and national accredited entities.
The evaluation also looked into the topic of results and impacts of GCF's adaptation finance. How is the GCF monitoring and assessing the impact of its adaptation investments? What kind of indicators does it use?
The evaluation found that common across many climate funds and agencies, that measuring the impact of adaptation interventions is challenging. The only fund-level indicator currently operationalized is the number of beneficiaries. The evaluation also found that one of the result areas that the GCF utilizes, so this is the most vulnerable people and communities results area, this acts as a chapeau and is really too broad to aid learning. 91% of projects map onto this result area, and this doesn't lead to greater clarity or information that can be utilized productively within the GCF or by other climate funds. The evaluation also found that no GCF project focuses solely on climate change's impact on health. Lastly, the GCF currently has no systematic approach to assessing the depth of adaptation impacts. This is certainly challenging, but it's definitely something that the GCF could look more into.
Yes, the indicator, the number of beneficiaries, does seem a bit too broad. But when we say beneficiaries, what are some of the common characteristics of GCF project beneficiaries? Here is Dr. Martin Prowse sharing an insight informed by the work of IEU's Learning-Oriented Real-Time Impact Assessment Program called the LORTA. Through its LORTA program, the IEU supports M&E experts, accredited entities, and implementing entities in conducting and embedding real-time impact evaluations into approved GCF projects.
The evaluation also assessed who GCF beneficiaries are, and this is using data from the Learning Oriented Real-Time Impact Assessment Program, LORTA. And here we can see some characteristics of beneficiaries from three countries, Malawi, Madagascar, and Rwanda. And the samples from which these were taken are representative of all direct beneficiaries from these interventions. The data shows that on average, GCF beneficiaries are poor and vulnerable. We can see that in Malawi and Rwanda, around 20% of household heads are women, and we can see that at least 70% of household heads have not completed secondary school, in Malawi, Madagascar, and Rwanda. So whilst it's still too early for us to be able to attribute impacts to GCF projects, what the LAWTER baseline data is telling us is that on average, GCF beneficiaries will benefit considerably from GCF intervention.
Given this gap relating to measuring the impacts and results of GCF's investments in adaptation, what are some of the recommendations presented in this evaluation report?
Our recommendations here in terms of results and impact are that the GCF should address adaptation-related measurement challenges and enhance monitoring and project and fund level aggregation and facilitate learning and steering. So firstly, the Secretariat should further engage with other climate funds and communities of practice to refine indicators, measurement and aggregation clarity. And this is ongoing and this can certainly be extended and deepened. Secondly, that the adaptation result areas are currently very broad and the GCF should also trace results at the sectoral level for portfolio management. So this will allow aggregation at the portfolio level, but it will also allow comparability with other climate funds who use a different range of result areas. And thirdly, the GCF should trace how an adaptation investment is meeting a national priority by linking result areas to an objective indicator for a country's adaptation needs, in addition to stated country needs through strategies and documentation.
And here is Mr. Andreas Roiman elaborating further on this point about clearer and improved indicators and result areas for adaptation.
The recommendations that we bring to this is something that is really important and should be recognized as a real key as well to how to move forward. So recognizing the limitations of the current set of indicators. That's not only the highest level indicator that we have at the fund level, which speaks to the beneficiaries, direct and indirect beneficiaries, but also the fund level indicators as well as the project indicators underneath that. Those need to be looked at, and we recognize there are limitations to this. That's a challenge for most climate organizations or actors in the climate financing space. But the GCF should try to see how these challenges can be addressed and how there can be a sensible set of indicators to help to improve that. And then as well on the adaptation result areas themselves, they're very broad, as we say, and the GCF should look at how can we trace results at a more of a sectorial level for the portfolio management. And we recognize that the Secretariat is doing these steps already with providing sectorial guidance. And that's the sectorial guidance that would lead to more distinct design stages and approval and review stages. But it should also be integrated into this question of how are we getting a greater knowledge of results? How can we create that aggregation and aggregatability, and how we can then compare ourselves to other funds.
And there you have it. For more and finer details about this evaluation, I encourage you to check out the full evaluation report available on the IEU website. We will provide the link to the evaluation report on our podcast page. We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Evaluator by the Independent Evaluation Unit of the Green Climate Fund. We'll be back with more insightful and interesting dialogues that matter for the evaluation and climate action communities, so stay tuned. Remember to tweet your thoughts about the show with the hashtag TheEvaluator. That is all for now, signing off from the IEU headquarters in Songdo, Republic of Korea. Thank you for listening.